Mr. Hewlett, Rail 7. We're talking about how you got on a hospital ship, due to your long service overseas. What was the trip back like?
Uneventful. The ship, as hospital ships, was used up, so you felt protected in some ways. The only thing I do remember very clearly is that on this ship they had a system where you could either let the beds roll with the ship, or lock them so that the ship rolled round the beds and the beds stayed where they were. This was the idea, was to avoid discomfort. The most discomforting thing in the world is to let the ship roll round the beds. So we found that we wanted them locked out of action altogether. It wasn't, in other words, it wasn't a good idea. The quickest way of getting seasick, ever known to man, is to have the ship roll round it and you remain. You remain upright. That's the particular thing I remember. I don't know how long it was, but I was in the 102 South African hospital in Bari for some time.
When did you travel back then, do you remember? Roughly.
Well, I can tell you that I got back on Christmas Eve 1944. We arrived in Glasgow, Port Glasgow, and the reception was wonderful. The two old men sort of smoking a pipe at the docks, and they just took the pipe out of the mouth and spat. That was our reception after 4.5 years we were. We then got immediately on a hospital train, which went straight down to Birmingham, the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, Birmingham. And I was there for some considerable time, having...
How was your leg coming on? I mean, was it getting... I mean, you were told it would lock. It wouldn't bend, rather. I mean, how were you getting on with it? Could you walk or did they give you a physio?
I didn't get up until... I think it was probably February before I...
So about four months in bed, 5 months in bed.
Quite a long time, anyway. Yeah.
How were you feeling?
Eventually, my morale was absolutely wonderful. I was delighted to be back in England, delighted still to be alive. Realising that it was virtually the end of my fighting career, so I was a little bit disappointed at having missed the trip to Greece and Austria and everything. But
was there such a thing as a blighty wound? I mean, did you have that mentality? You know,
didn't think about it. Never thought about it really.
So, and were you happy with the quality of the treatment you'd received, both in Italy and then when you got back to Bowen?
Yes, I was. Yes, they were very good. Everywhere were very good. Very good people. South African hospital, they had a double cigarette ration, which was very bad for me because it was an ideal opportunity to give up smoking. But I couldn't even give my cigarettes away. So when I felt better, I set about smoking the whole damn lot. And it didn't do me any good at all because ultimately I had artery trouble through smoking too much. This is years later. But there we are. It's one of those things.
So, you were in Birmingham, in Queen Elizabeth.
Queen Elizabeth Hospital, Birmingham, which was a fine place. I was there. My parents came up to see me. They lived in Brighton, and I was moved eventually to the Royal Sussex County Hospital in Brighton. And I was still there. I was there until May. April, May 45, I think it was, where I had a physiotherapist who sort of taught me to walk again, came out with me, and, used to go to dances and things like that.
Did you have trouble initially?
Trouble learning to walk? Well, yes, for a long time. I had my leg in an iron caliper for a long time, quite a long time, and I could walk fairly well with that. In fact, I played cricket with an iron caliper. You had to have a runner, of course. It's marvellous playing cricket with a runner because you get most of your runs in overthrows because nobody knows where to chuck the ball. In fact, the very last game of cricket I ever played with a runner up in Harewood, there was an England batsman at the other end, Clive Radley, who made 76, not out, and I made 10, 8 of which were overthrows. I've forgotten that.
I mean, you're still in the army at this stage. Were you looking forward to being demobbed?
I suppose I was, really. I didn't know what I was going to do, though, because I thought I was going to become a regular soldier. having spoken to Johnny Preston, he would have recommended that I should stay in the army, but I realised that because of the wound, I would not be able to do anything like that, and I didn't really know what to do. The firm I'd worked for, this High Duty Alloys, were keeping a job open for me, but it was a bad... It didn't work, because everybody said, oh, well, you can't expect promotion. You were away all the war. It was not a good reception, in fact. I was very unhappy there.
When were you demobilised? Was it before the end of the war or after?
1945. I think it was around about the end of the war. It was more or less counted around about March, I think it was.
Were you assessed for a disability pension, a war disability?
Yes, 60%. It still is.
Were you happy with that at the time?
Yes, that was the reason. I'm beginning to think it's not reasonable. Now that my other leg is bad, I'm thinking of applying to have it increased to 80%. I don't know whether they'll do that.
So you came out of the army, and then you went back to high-duty
Allies.
What did you decide to do? I mean, you said the reception was bad. Was it?
Well, the sort of remarks, well, you went with us to the war, so you wouldn't know this and that. You can't expect this, that, and the other. They put me in charge of the sales bit of the accounts department, and I was very unhappy there, so I applied for other jobs. And, in fact, I underwent a couple of days personnel testing at the Slough Community Centre, and I got a job which had the effect of doubling my salary and starting a completely new career with Chappie Dog Food, Pet Foods as they now are, owned by Mars, a subsidiary of Mars Confections. I think they had 200 applicants for this job, customer service supervisor, and I came out on top, even though most of the others were university graduates and all sorts of things. So I was very pleased, and we hadn't been married long, so this was terrific. After I'd been there a week, Mr. Mars came back from Houston, Texas, saw my name on the book papers, and I didn't authorise that appointment. We have a woman for that job, sack him. And as everybody, including the chairman, were engaged on a weekly basis, I got the sack. Mars went back to America, and they said, you're so busy, because we were running the Dogs Advisory Bureau with Charles Kraft, who became quite a good friend of mine. Charles and I had to answer all these letters about dogs and things. Charles answered the difficult ones, I answered the easy ones. And I had three secretaries working, we had so many letters to answer. And they said, it'll be all right, we'll find some way of keeping them here. But when Forrest Mars said that he was coming back again, they all panicked. And although one or two resigned in protest, I had to go. I'd written to Mars. And a new sales manager came round to see us. We lived in Windsor Forest then. And said, we've got a new job for you. And I said, I think I've got to wait until I've had an answer from Mr. Mars, before I decide anything with you. He said, you wrote to Mr. Mars? I said, yes, indeed I did. He said, oh, well, I have to withdraw this offer now, because it is one of Mr. Mars's inviolable principles that anybody who ever works for the company and leaves for any reason is never re-engaged. And that was that. One or two very important people heard about this and said, you can have solicitors to sue them, but I had no leg to stand on, apparently. So I never... The damage it did me, really, was that I then had to apply, as I had a wife and child, for jobs of lesser caliber and less pay, and explain away why I was unemployed, which I'd never been before in my life. That's the damage. It set me back quite a long way.
Now, what about the effects of the war, mentally and physically? How do you feel about the effects of your war service?
It was rather unfortunate that my wound was in the leg, because had it not been so, I would almost certainly have been quite a successful motoring journalist. I did do a bit of journalism, but it had to be a spare time job, because in those days a lot of the cars weren't automatic, and there were so many cars that I couldn't drive without alteration that rather spoilt the show. I mean, it wouldn't be so bad now when so many cars are automatic, but I, you know, because I know a lot about motor cars.
You went on to work for Renault. Was that after the dog food?
A long time. Yes.
Right. But that was a problem. So there was the physical problem. What about mentally? Is it?
Mentally, I don't think it did any harm to me at all.
Any good being an officer? You know, there's some.
Yes, I suppose so. Yes, I suppose it makes a difference to other people for some reason. I mean, when I was looking for another job after the debacle at Pet Foods, I had a short time selling an extremely expensive penetrating oil, which I had to demonstrate, you know, by undoing very difficult nuts and bolts. And I went with a little East End man who took me around originally, and he insisted, even though I told him I was a left-hand, he insisted on introducing me to everybody. Ken Hewlett, out the army, straight out the army, Captain Hewlett. I said, well, not a captain, I'm a lieutenant. Never mind, Captain Hewlett here. And he was, it worried him that I was, that I'd be the captain. He couldn't get over it. He'd not met anybody. I hadn't been a captain, I was only a lieutenant, but he liked to promote people, I suppose. That was really funny.
And what about continuing links with your old comrades? You're a member of the 16th. The Durham Motor Infantry Association. Is that important to you? Have you been a member long?
I've been to nearly all the reunions. I've missed a few, but only when I've been away or been unwell or something like that. But I've been to Durham on most occasions.
Is that right since after the war, or did you rejoin recently?
No, right. I mean, pretty well all of them, all the time.
Is it important to you then?
Oh, it is. Yes, very much so. I rather regret the way the army has gone, and I can understand the reasons for it, but I think that county regiments are a great value, and it does seem a rather pity to combine them and lose the local appeal. Even though, not being a Durham man myself, I might, you know, it might appear to sort of refute that argument.
Thank you very much.